Welcome to African Pod. My name is Philip, and today we take a look at Africa and Australia, the collaboration of two continents. These two continents are so far apart, and challenges in collaboration is a significant issue. These include a range of cultural, political, and social gaps that needs bridging. The challenges remain, but progress has also been made by many individuals and organizations. One individual that has made a difference is Camilla Coffey. Camilla is associated with the New South Wales chapter of the Australia-Africa Business Council and has considerable experience in bringing African and Australian businesses together. She has also traveled around Africa over the last decade. Among other talents, Camilla Coffey specializes in connecting people and promoting ethical business development in Africa. I spoke to Camilla on the phone to Sydney, where she shares her experience.
Camilla, for speaking to African Pod, tell me a little about your background and how you got to develop a passion for Africa.
Thanks, Philip. I have family ties with Africa, so even before I travelled to the continent, I had an interest in what was going on over there and who was there and what it was all about. I made my first trip about 10 years ago and had an immediate connection. And I think it really helped that I quickly made some friends when I was over there, so I could be involved in the dinner table discussions and hearing and seeing what they thought about their own country rather than just seeing Africa from a tourist perspective. And when I got back, I just bought every book I could get my hands on. So anything that I could find that had anything to do with Africa, I would pore over and absorb as much as I could. And soon after that, I just realised that I had to get a bit more serious about my involvement with Africa. It wasn't enough just to read the book and visit when I could. I had to be involved in a day-to-day basis. So I was really lucky. A fantastic opportunity came up to work alongside the former Senior Trade Commissioner with Australia for Sub-Saharan Africa. And with his consultancy, I was able to go to the mining in Djerba. His consultancy helped Australian companies do business in Africa. So alongside him and at the mining in Djerba that I attended a couple of times, I managed to make some great connections in business and government and get a real feel for what Australian companies needed and wanted, what the barriers were to them doing business with Africa.
And Africa is such a big continent, right? So it will be nice to kind of understand which countries in Africa you've been that obviously shaped your experience.
Yeah, well, because of my friends and connections, all my trips that I've had have stopped into South Africa. But once I'm in South Africa, I try and also add something else on. So I've done Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, where have I gone? Zimbabwe, Zanzibar, Namibia, Zambia, did I say Zambia? I've got a few, and I hope to keep moving north as I visit more and more.
That's pretty impressive, because most of the time, or shall we say most Africans, don't end up visiting many African countries. You know, most Africans will usually just travel from Africa to Europe or the Americas. So that's quite impressive that even though you live in Australia and Australian, you have had these experiences in Africa. So how did that help you or motivate you to bring the two continents together in different ways?
You know, over time, as I visit Africa more and more, my friends keep asking me, like, what is it with Africa? Why do you like Africa? And more often than not, they say to me, but isn't it dangerous? And that's their, quickly understood that their perception of Africa was not what Africa actually was. And I felt I really needed to show Australia and my Australian friends and connections what Africa was about. You know, their perceptions are a bit outdated or narrow, and I needed to open a few minds and break down some stereotypes. It's not all war and famine and disease. There's I often tell people the story about M-Pesa, which is the mobile phone application in Kenya that helps Kenyans do business with their phone anywhere with their old Nokias, and people are blown away by that. So slowly.
Yeah. So assume for one moment that I am not an African. So mm-hmm. I would like you to tell me Africa, why Africa matters. What's special about Africa? What's so exciting about the continent?
What isn't, you know? For me, I get a buzz as soon as I hit the tarmac in Africa. And I think what's so special is just undercurrent that Africans want to thrive and want to do well and do well with so little. I mean, we're very blessed in Australia, and I think we take for granted what we have. In Africa, it's a completely different kettle of fish, but you can pass through a township and you'll see someone's washing on the line, and their whites will be the whitest whites that you've ever seen, you know, most beautifully clean clothing. And you think, how have you done that? I can't get my clothing that good. And this perseverance and want to do well and do well out of so little. I get a buzz out of seeing 1,000-miler shoes, people making shoes out of disused tyres. And I really get a kick out of seeing the business perspective. But I have to say, Philip, if you've never been to Africa, you must go to the African bush. You must see an African sunset. It's not all business. It's not all, you know, thriving and striving. You can have a really good time in Africa.
You mentioned perseverance there among Africans, in the context of their challenges. And obviously you have developed a similar perseverance in bringing the two together, namely Australia and Africa. So what challenges have you experienced in making relations work between the two continents in the broad context of business, cultural, social, economics? And that's probably going quite broad, but yes.
Sure.
What challenges have you experienced?
There's an image problem for Australians when they think about Africa, which is a problem. I think also from a government and business perspective, there's a lot of competition for Africa against Asia and Latin America. Asia's close. Our business partners are doing business with Africa, with Asia. So it's quite familiar for them. It might be easier to do business elsewhere. There might not be so much corruption, or they have a greater understanding of how to do business in different regions of the world. And I also think, you know, moving away from that type of lack of understanding, from an investor perspective, many investors will only invest in a listed business. So there's a challenge for African businesses to grow large enough to get onto the stock market before they can get foreign funding and an interest from Australians. So it's a lack of understanding on one part, but also there's the need for more transparency for Australians. So they really like to feel comfortable in knowing exactly what's going on when they put their money somewhere.
And there are a few good people like you who are working to bring the two continents together, as you've described. And should I say, some time has passed since you personally mm-hmm. started working in that direction. What progress have you seen has been made, if any?
There's an undercurrent of progress. You might not see it immediately in your day-to-day dealings if you're not involved in the Australia-Africa space. But there is definitely there's something going on. I think, you know, if you have a look around and have a dig about, you'll see that there's Australia-Africa business councils scattered across Australia, and there are smaller groups like in Ignition Investment. There's the Africa-Australia Infrastructure Conference, the Australia-Africa Chamber of Commerce, Africa Down Under, and Australia's strong and growing representation at the mining in Darwa. And I think we can take something out of the fact that we saw Julie Bishop at Perth Africa Down Under this September. You know,
Julie
not
Bishop,
everybody.
Australia's
Julie
foreign
Bishop
minister.
Is absolutely our foreign minister. And I think something needs to be taken away from that there is an interest from the government to have a think about what's going on in Africa and make their ties with Africa stronger.
It's quite a list you've mentioned, and I know one of those organizations that help to bring the continents together, apart from individuals like you, it would be the Australia-Africa Business Council, and you, of course, are associated with the New South Wales chapter. Now,
I am.
So it is within the space, as you call it, of the Australia-Africa space. Those mm-hmm. within that space, like you, would appreciate the progress being made. But how about those outside? How are you able to expand that space? What can be done to expand that space to bring in more people, to make it easier for people to see the light, as it were, in terms of the relationship between the two?
Well, I think the best way to help people understand something is for them to see what it means for themselves. It's no good being told first or second hand, you know, what Africa is and what there is available at for you to get involved in with your investment or your opportunities. So I really encourage people to get involved with the local Australia Africa Business Council. They hold some fantastic events. They'll let you be introduced to ambassadors. They will promote businesses and opportunities, and you'll get a great feel for what's going on. But I would also really strongly encourage people to make a trip over to Africa themselves. It's often on people's bucket list, so I just think why not go? It's a wonderful continent. You will eat well. You will have so many things to buy. You know, you'll drink well. You'll learn so much, and you'll have a stronger understanding of what Africa is, and that it isn't dust and disease and famine and coups and corruption. There's a stronger growing middle class, and there's strong development in fashion and the prevalence of mobile phone technology is just making huge changes in what's going on in Africa.
And you're highlighting quite a lot of good news there about Africa, but there's also a lot of bad news. And what responsibility do you, based on your experience, place on Africans themselves for not helping move themselves forward? Because you don't want to have just outsiders like you who have a soft spot for Africa doing the hard work of moving the continent forward.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, I think foreign aid has had something to do with people's responses or Africans' responses to moving forward. And, you know, if you're getting a constant stream of income or if certain individuals are getting a constant stream of income, there's not that motivation to get up and get going and do what you can do to progress yourself. So I guess from an African perspective, please try and stop thinking or hoping for foreign aid to come in and start rethinking how you can get funding. Whether it can be through a public-private partnership or through an investment or a collaboration, I think that will really help push from the ground up growth with Africa.
Just taking a step back, Camilla,
sure.
About the negative perceptions of Africa. Why is it so persistent? Because for a continent that you describe describe in such glowing ways, you think the situation should be better than it is now.
Absolutely. I absolutely think it should be better, but the media has a strong part to play in all this. They have a problem with referring to Africa in ways that would make many people think that it's one country and not a set of 54 countries. I think just yesterday I saw that some news reporter claimed that the recent attacks in Mali had taken place in South Africa. So it's easy for people on the outside to think that Africa is one small place and not such a giant continent where countries are as different to each other as countries in Europe are different to each other. And within those countries, smaller language and social groups can be as different to each other as countries in Europe. So I think really for people to have a better understanding of what is actually going on in Africa and having a better perspective, they need to increase their dialogue with friends, pick up some books and have a read, watch something that isn't The Gods Must Be Crazy, and get onto Twitter and get onto Facebook and go to the multicultural events, go along to your business council events, and don't really trust what the media is saying, because it is only a small part of what is actually going on in Africa.
So you've just spelled out some of the mechanisms that can help break down the misperceptions, which are often negative. Is there anything else you can add in as mechanisms to break it all down and promote understanding?
I'll go back to my previous answer and suggest that for Christmas people ask for a return ticket to Africa. And try and get a good understanding of what the continent is all about. Don't go over there and sit on an organized tour for the whole time. Get out and go where the locals are going. Find a local coffee shop and sit down and, you know, hear what the locals are saying. Go to the restaurant that everyone is sitting in and see what they're doing. From a business perspective, I think you just need to think twice about opportunities that are available over there, and don't dismiss Africa as quickly as you might have done in the past. Just increase your dialogue and talk about Africa, just to get a better idea.
It appears you, as far as the future is concerned with Africa, the relations in trade, commerce, culture, etc., it would appear that you are sitting on the positive side.
Absolutely.
How is that gonna happen?
I am aware that there are talks taking place. I know that the Australia Africa Minerals and Energy Group in Perth has recently called to action the Australian government and really told them, you know, we really need to be looking at opportunities in Africa. And with the government level here in Australia involved in Africa is a strong one. Matthew Newhouse is now the Assistant Secretary of the Africa branch. He's an ex-ambassador for Zimbabwe. He is an ex-Zimbabwean. There's good people doing good things, and I think we do need to have a bit of faith that there will be some traction coming. And with that in mind, we need to also, as individuals, do what we can to help that happen and not sit back and just hope that it will.
So you do think Africa is rising, but just slowly?
Yeah, Africa is rising. The Economist was right. I think it is rising, but perhaps not as quickly or in the same way that we initially thought that it was going to be. Africa is not the Africa that it was when I first started going 10 years ago. And I can see for myself, in my eyes, the changes that are happening. And once the rest of the world sees that too, I think we'll get some movement there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very hard to resist the temptation of making certain comparisons. And I'm talking specifically of, say, a country like China and compared to Africa, which is a whole continent. Now, the United States President Obama, for example, will say the United States supports the peaceful rise of China. And most people understand what that means because China is strong, powerful economically, militarily, etc. But you wouldn't hear the U.S. president saying we support the peaceful rise of Africa, and it just that just shows you or demonstrates just how low Africa is.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate, given Obama's family ties with Africa. It is unfortunate that he and others won't refer to Africa in that way. But we need to start doing that. And if you're involved in Africa, you need to start doing that and telling people what it is all about.
Well, Camilla, thank you very much for speaking to African Port. And we know you're associated with the New South Wales chapter of the Australia Africa Business Council. And yeah, you're also involved in a number of initiatives for Africa. So how can people get in touch with you if they wish to?
It's probably easiest if you reach out to me on Twitter. My page is at Baobab2, so Baobab underscore 2, and I'm on there every day. So send me a message or find the Australia Africa Business Council of New South Wales page on Facebook and sign up and send us a message and I'll get back to you.
Well, thank you once more, Camilla Coffey, who is associated with the New South Wales chapter of the Australia Africa Business Council. And Camilla specializes in connecting people and promoting ethical business development in Africa. Thank you once more for speaking to African Port.
So I was speaking there in an interview with Camilla Coffey in Sydney. For more on the good news and the bad news about Africa, subscribe to the African Port on iTunes podcast, on YouTube, search for African Port, and also on our website, www.africanport.com. African Port will also be available soon on Google's Android podcast. My name is Philip, and thank you for listening.